The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It was surreal. It was definitely, like you said, first time starting as an NFL quarterback. It's still honestly crazy to say. There's definitely emotions. There's definitely, it's a surreal moment. Something I'll always remember.
You're just hitting it out, bro. You're actually here. You got to enjoy it. So after a while, I just took like 10 laps. I'm like, wow, I'm finally here. I finally made it on a big stage. And the first NFL experience, I had to soak it all in before it got real out there.
I was definitely nervous, but nerves kind of hit me a couple days ago and had an opportunity to take it or realize it and process it. And I feel like that helped me to go out there and not have as much nerves today. So felt good. Didn't feel any different out there than I did in practice.
Three of the rookie quarterbacks who got some playing time in the preseason openers. Week one of the 2023 preseason in the books. We look forward to week two, the three-week preparation period. And coaches still haven't figured out an agreed formula, rhythm. You never know what you're going to get. It used to be different. It used to be you'd get a drive or two from the starters in the week one, week two game, week three. I remember back in the day, they'd play the whole half and into the third quarter. Week four, you wouldn't see them at all. With only three games, I never really know. And no. I think it varies from coach to coach, team to team, week to week, what we're going to see. And it's honed by the needs that the coach perceives, Chris, of this specific team in this specific year. And good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. Yeah, good to see you. Yeah, at least it was fun weekend. It was, but you're right. There's no formula anymore, like you said, where it was like week one, okay, maybe a few starters play, maybe they don't at all. Week two, a little more, and so on and so on. Now, I think with limited opportunities and teams you're seeing, like Mike, to your point, they kind of just do what's best for them, right? They're just going, wait, this is what we need. And it's across the board, whether, hey, okay, Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, we know they want him to get work with the first team offense, so they go out there and do that. But then you had teams like the Buffalo Bills where you go, wait, they've been in the thick of things. And, yeah, Josh Allen didn't start, but they played all their starters on defense and got that part of their football team ready or wanted to make sure that was hitting on all cylinders come week one. So, yeah, it was a little all over the place, which made it interesting. You got to see starters go against backups, some backups go against starters, offensive side of the ball. We got to see the rookie quarterbacks, great experiences for them like we talked about last week. You can say all you want. There's nerves, even a preseason game. They need to even shake those cobwebs out. But it was good to have some football this weekend, that's for sure, Mike.
And that's the thing. Even though it doesn't count, it doesn't mean anything, it never is a factor in the standings. For a lot of these guys, especially the rookies, this is their first taste of it. This is the first time they're doing it. You can't tell them it's not real when they're not out there in their uniform and they see NFL caliber defensive players and they have to make decisions with the ball and they know that everything they do is going to be scrutinized, even if we don't have a full game's worth of it, it even puts more pressure on them.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the luxury of screwing up and succumbing to the nerves at first before settling in. You get three drives, you get four drives, you get two drives, you don't get much of a chance, and that's all anyone is going to focus on, and you got to forget about that and move on to the next one. Of course, the hard reset comes after the third preseason game, but they still have to live through the next 2 weeks until we get there, and I think it can be more important to them, way
yes,
more important to them
right.
than it is to anybody else.
Definitely. I think that's right. Young players, second-year guys, there's a lot of them that are in that same boat as well. You know, you got your guys who, yeah, they might have played last preseason, but they're second-year guys who didn't play much in the regular season other than special teams. Here's their chance to get back out on the D-line, the O-line, show their coaches that. You know, get used to that movement. Again, what we've talked about a little last week, this is where the preseason has, you know, great, I think, value is to those type of football players. And, you know, on top of that, like you're talking about a little too, Mike, just the player safety element. It getting used to, oh, wait, you know, hey, I'm Anthony Richardson. I got to throw a ball here in a weird angle here, and I got a guy hanging on me. What, you know, all right, this is a good learning lesson. Let me throw it away instead of throw a pick or do whatever, right? And I think those things are going to go a long way to a better quality game once week one comes around. So that's the good thing about preseason, and it's true for even some of the veterans and guys we've seen be stars. You can't tell me Russell Wilson didn't need a little, Lou, let me get used to this again out here in the Sean Payton offense. So I think it goes around for a lot of guys as far as the importance goes, Mike.
Especially the quarterback position where they don't get hit. They've got the red jersey,
right,
whichever
right.
color jersey the team puts the quarterbacks in through all of the offseason, all of training camp, joint practices. They still are on the do not touch list. Now all of a sudden it's open season, it's fair game, and all the stuff you heard about, all the things they're preparing you for, this is the first real glimpse you're going to get, the closest thing to a regular season glimpse you're ever going to get until it's time to go out there week one. And for most of the rookies taken early in the draft, we expect to see them week one. The only one that I don't expect to see, no one expects to see at this point, is Will Levis of
right.
the Titans.
Yeah.
The other three, we expect them to be the starters when the regular season gets going in 3 weeks and 6 days.
Oh, yeah.
First full Sunday. Obviously, Lions-Chiefs starts in 24 days, but just a few days after that, we'll see Bryce Young. We'll see C.J. Stroud. We'll see Anthony Richardson, and the clock is ticking loudly on their remaining opportunities to get ready for the roller coaster ride to begin.
Oh, well, I can't wait, you know. I can't wait to continue to watch the training wheels, you know, slowly but surely come off here as they go deeper and deeper into the playbook, get more and more comfortable. It was a good start, I think, for a lot of these guys. It wasn't going to be perfect. We know that. I mean, damn, they got drafted high in the draft for a reason, right? You always say it, because that team stunk, I should say. And they stinked. It was a double whammy. I'm hanging around too many nephews this weekend. That got me talking 3-year-old there. But, yeah, I like watching
this
learning process.
You just have an excuse for a change. That's all that's different. You just have an excuse. You have somebody you can blame. I'm sure they appreciate that. You mentioned the training wheels, and I had a flashback to when I had a bike with the training wheels. Do they still make bikes with training wheels on them? I assume they do.
I think they do.
Because you need to be trained somehow. I just remember I came out one day, and I thought somebody stole my training wheels. It's like, hey, Mom, somebody took my training wheels. I did. You don't need them anymore. Get on that bike and ride.
What were you, 9?
Okay.
Were you 10 years old then?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's a funny story. Or you know what? I hate saying that, because anytime anyone prefaces something with funny story,
yeah.
it's never
funny. How? Let me hear it.
So let me strike that comment from the record, please. Mm-hmm. Not a funny story. I had family in town over the weekend, and we started talking about Saturday morning cartoons, because now with my little nephew, my great nephew, which makes me feel even older than I am,
yeah.
in the house, we had whatever it is that he watches. And of course, you can access it at any time. You
right.
don't have to wait until Saturday right. morning anymore. So I happened to share my story with my sister, and I'd probably never told her before, even though I've told the world multiple times. I never told her about how I'd get so excited to watch Saturday morning cartoons that I'd run downstairs forgetting to relieve my full bladder and not wanting to go back upstairs and miss any of the cartoon action because you had a limited window within which to watch it every week. So I'd pee in the garbage can until my mother lifted out the bag, which they didn't sell garbage bags at the time. You used your bags, your brown bags right. from the grocery store right. back when they used brown bags for grocery stores, and you put your trash in it and then took it out and put it in the old metal trash can. And when she picked it up and said, "This is wet for some reason," that's when I realized eventually if I don't stop this on my own, I will be caught as the garbage can pisser. Yeah. So anyway, my sister had no idea, and she thought it was funny, and she said, "How old were you when you were doing this?" And I said 13. And she just accepted it. Like she like I wasn't
kidding.
Okay,
that's a little weird, but okay.
No, she didn't even say that. She just kept going like I meant that I said that I was 13 when I was doing it.
And then when did you let her know? Did you let her know and go, you know, I wasn't really 13? I mean, I was. Hopefully you were 6, 5.
It came up like a couple minutes later, and it's like, you thought I was serious that I said I was 13?
Right.
So, yeah.
All right, good. So anyway, you had a good weekend, family there. I know you got in the pool, or the pool was used. That's good to hear.
The pool was used.
You know?
The pool was used.
And what else? You guys have some other fun in there? You had a barn? You guys
had
a few drinks?
Too much food.
All right.
Too much food.
Yep.
Too much booze.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah.
Fun weekend.
We had a good weekend, too. Family here. My son's 13th birthday was yesterday. So the house.
All right. Happy birthday, Philip.
Yeah, Philip.
Philip.
We had the crew
Philip,
at the house.
Now that he's 13, he's old enough to pee in the garbage can.
That's right. That is no doubt. He's ready to go. He's passed the test there. But, yeah, it was a good day. You know, always fun. Fun to see that age enjoy their birthday. Got him, Mike, one of the things we got him for his birthday is one of these, you know, arcade games. And it's got, like, every old arcade game ever
I have
in history.
One.
You have this
one.
Whole thing? Right.
I've had it for 2 years.
I think I've heard you say
about
it.
This?
I think I heard you say it before. Right. I don't know if I really put it together that it was the same thing. But yeah, that was the highlight gift of his birthday. And we played that a lot yesterday. I had a lot of fun doing
it. So wait.
Yeah.
You're forcing him to play these old arcade games that he knows nothing about.
He found out on his own.
And he'll have no interest. have no interest in them. They look so crappy in comparison to everything they have today. The only nostalgia is for the old people like us.
I know. You know what, though? Like, he found this out on his own with some other friends he had. And NBA Jam, right? I mean,
yes.
Pac-Man, stuff like that. That I don't care what year that was invented in. It doesn't lose its you know, luster. It's fun. So those are like kind of what highlighted the afternoon yesterday, just playing that. And then we'll slowly dig into some other ones that we find that work for both of us.
How many games are on it? I got one that's got like 3,000 games.
I think ours does too. I think it's 3,500, something in that range. Like way too many to where when you have to go through it, you go, man, they didn't need to put like at least 1,000, 2,000 of these on. I mean, geez, we wanted the hardcore basics. Give me the hits, you know, and then that's all I needed. But they got everything, things I've never heard of before.
Yeah, like 50 versions of Street Fighter.
Right, exactly.
Like there's a certain point where we don't need the latest update of it.
Right.
But so, okay, mine has 3,000, yours has 3,500. I need to buy one today that has 3,600. Then, I guess that's what you're telling me. But it's got the one I have has like old Madden games on it too. It's not just arcade games.
Ooh.
It's video games from back in the day that have migrated on here too.
I gotta check that.
The first three or four Maddens.
Right.
It's home versions of different games in addition to the arcade games.
Gotcha.
So it's probably in there. It does. It takes forever. It takes forever to scroll through all of them and find out which ones you'd like to play and which ones you'll never play, but they're just on there. I'm a big fan, and we played this down in the barn on Friday night, and I didn't act like I never play. I have Golden Tee, and I play Golden Tee all the time.
Oh,
when
right,
I'm down in the
right.
barn, I'll take 10, 15 minutes and go back to the back room where we have four of these arcade games that are just they're cheaper than the one where you get 3,000 games.
Right.
It's just like the old NFL Blitz game, Buck Hunter, Golden Tee, and I've got the Dragon's Lair game, which I used to like to play in college when I didn't feel like studying. So I play Golden Tee all the time. And we did a four-person match on Golden Tee, and I kicked the crap out of them. And it wasn't even fun. Like, I was up five strokes on the rest of them after three holes. So I love Golden Tee. Golden Tee is great. And now they've got, like, this super-duper PGA Tour edition of Golden Tee that is much more expensive than the one I got. And the more important issue is I don't know where I would put it. But that's what I'm eyeballing now that Christmas is coming within focus.
All right.
I'm starting to drop the hints around the house that I want the new super-duper PGA Tour Golden Tee experience that takes a 55-inch high-def TV that you have to buy separately. Used to be you just had to buy batteries separately. Now you buy something, you got to buy a 55-inch TV separately.
Wow, is that right? That's how it goes? Like, so I don't know if I've seen one like that where it's a separate TV to the rest of the console. It's not, and it's still something you're going to use with your hand in that same way, or are you actually swinging a club on this one? What the hell is going on here?
No,
okay,
no.
Yeah, okay.
It's got the roller.
Right.
That's the appeal.
Yeah,
it's this big unit that has a back on it, and you just have to mount the TV on it.
Gotcha.
And it's not a console per se, but it's got a middle base, and it's got cup holders and stuff. I mean, It's pretty swanky.
It sounds like it. It's bougie.
Space.
Right. Yeah. Well, you can't hide money.
I'm out of space.
You'll find it.
I'm out of space in the barn, though. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to add on to the barn. We're going to have to build a barn for the barn because there's no space for the game that I want to buy next.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
All right, it took us a while to get to it, but we eventually wasted some of your time and when we should have been talking about football. By the way, I do need to say what the show is. It's PFT Live, if you didn't already know. Peacock, Sirius XM85, Sky Sports Action, which will soon be Sky Sports NFL for NFL season, podcast, wherever you get your podcast. I've been informed by our friends in the UK and in Ireland that I have yet to say good morning or hello to them.
How dare you?
In the weeks that we've been back.
Jeez.
I didn't realize
Manners.
You all were so high maintenance. I thought you... You folks kept a stiff upper lip and a patrician facade.
They believe in manners. They are the ones who taught us decency and manners in this world, and they just want you to give it back to them, Mike. That's all they're asking for.
First of all, we're not live, so it's kind of hard to say good morning. And even if we were live, it's not morning when we're on. It's noon.
True.
So
we would say
good afternoon if we were live. We'd say hello. It's 12 o'clock. In London and surrounding towns, but we're not live. That's not our call. There was a time last year. I don't want to go back down that rabbit hole. There was a time last year. They led us to believe. Well, led us to believe is a little bit soft. They told us conclusively that we were going to be live every day, and then like a week later, we weren't. So I don't know what happened there. I'll blame you and your potty mouth for causing them to realize they were not able to hit that button because you never know when the expletive is going to fly out of your mouth.
Oh, thank you. I don't know if you're much better, so don't put all the blame on me, okay? You know, for every, I don't know, I feel like over the years it might have been like for every five swears you've had one. But we've gotten to a point now where I feel like it's pretty close. It's 2-1. You have some weeks where I think you outdo me. So, you know, it's not fair to put all the burden on me anymore there, counselor, okay?
Well, I've tried to be a little more restrained just because it puts an extra burden on Kristen to bleep them out for the video clips that go out. And you know, we've never really gotten in trouble, but we have been encouraged
right.
to not do it.
Right.
It's like they don't love it, but they know if they try to get us to stop, we'll just do it more.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a balance there. Now, right. Eventually we would push the envelope until we're either fired or incarcerated. I don't know. I mean, some people just keep pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope no matter what they should know the consequences are going to be, but I don't want to digress too much. We decided not to push the envelope. I kind of got bored with it. I think that's what it came down to. They let us do it enough. We got bored with it. And I don't know. I'm probably laying the foundation for about 10
or 11. Oh, yeah. I want to swear everywhere right now just to end that.
Hour and 40 minutes. All right. Let's get to it.
Let's do it.
Bryce Young possibly swearing on Saturday as he was getting chased around all over the place in his preseason debut against the Jets. Three series were played by Bryce Young in his first NFL game. He completed 4 of 6 passes for 21 yards. But what happened to him was the thing that they thought
people
he'd
get
be
scared
able to
of.
Figure out how to avoid.
Right.
He got hit.
Right.
And with a guy that size, physics are against you.
Yeah.
The more you get hit, Chris, the more likely you're going to get hurt. They got lucky.
Right.
But you can't assume that luck is going to hold for 3 weeks of the preseason and 17 games of the regular season.
Hey, like we talked about a minute ago. I mean, these teams aren't perfect, right? There they are. They're trying to find their way. They're playing a team like the Jets that was a borderline playoff team, had a playoff roster last year. They're deep as hell on the defensive line, right? Offensive line still a work in progress for Carolina. But, yeah, I mean, these are the things that scared us with Bryce Young, right? Some of these hits right here where you go, ooh, that is some big hit. And honestly, I was shocked there wasn't a penalty called on that one for the first pick of the draft. Yeah, this is what we worry about, whether he can take these type of hits on a consistent basis and within that make the throw down the left sideline, you know, and a back shoulder throw. I know he's going to be able to wheel and deal and find little holes and completions over the middle. What we still have to see is when those aren't there, right, some of the plays we saw at Alabama – you know, like we saw the other day, when that's not there, can he make some of those power throws on the outside with the pocket collapsing and hang in there and really make the throw with consistent accuracy? Or is it going to become, ooh, I got to protect myself here because I'm really small and those hits are going to, you know, take a toll on me? It's a good start, a good experience. I know it was nothing special, but it's like we talked about, the learning process. Now he's going to get a feel for the speed of the rush and everything that, you know, he'll need to improve on for the next appearance.
Yeah, they've been very impressed with his processing,
right.
And they believe he's going to be able to get rid of the ball quickly. But that's the thing. If you get rid of the ball too quickly, the receiver's not ready for it. The defensive back is. It's going to go incomplete. You can't rush it. You've still got to allow the play to develop. And then get rid of the football. You can't get rid of the football before the play is ready for the football to be distributed to whoever it is that is intended to catch it. He was hit on 3 of his 7 dropbacks. Let's have a listen to his head coach, Frank Reich, and Bryce Young on the hits he took from the New York Jets defense in his NFL debut.
I thought he took the one big hit. You know, obviously that first hit was pretty big, right? I mean, that first hit was pretty big. I asked him on the sideline after, you know, kind of in the second, I waited till the second half. I said, well, that was a pretty good welcome to the NFL hit. How'd that one feel? And, you know, he said he was fine. He said he barely felt it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the game, of course. You know, football is a physical sport. You know, you're going to get, it's part of the job description, you're going to get hit. And, you know, that's the game we play. So, you know, it's part of the job. You know that's coming. So can't let that's not something I think of. Can't let that affect your decision making or what you're going through. So for me, you know, that's part of the game. It happens. And, you know, I'm just, you know, focused on the next play and trying to make sure I execute every time I get a chance to out there.
You know, when you said you were surprised on that first hit, a flag wasn't thrown, it tells me that you've been sufficiently warped by the nothing the passer calls that you would expect a flag on that. And this is where I think the officials try to draw the line. They focus on the defender, not the impact that the hit has on the quarterback. It's the technique of the defender. It's what the defender does. Is he dropping his body weight? Is he doing that scoop that was an issue several years ago where they would burp the quarterback? That's what they call it in the football parlance. And there's certain things that you just know it when you see it by what the defender does, that it's a technique that is prohibited. The impact of a legal hit on the quarterback is what they ignore, just like Tua Tagovailoa getting thrown to the ground as he was trying to throw the pass against the Bengals last year on a Thursday night. Some would look at that and say, well, that has to be a penalty. But if you look at what the defender did, no, it's not a penalty. The only reason it looks like it should be a penalty is because the quarterback is too small.
Yeah.
And the quarterback got thrown down by a clean legal hit. So that's what I think the issue is. We're going to see a smaller quarterback, and the impact of a legal hit on him is going to look far more devastating than it would on a bigger quarterback. But I don't think they're going to throw the flags on them.
Well, they shouldn't. They shouldn't. But, you know, hey, let's play that first clip back again if we can, Courtney. I thought the first one, you know, again, I saw less egregious ones called this weekend that made me want to lose my mind. So that's where I've been
there is
changed.
An element of driving into the ground.
That's what
there
that's
is an element of driving.
That's to me what it was, is the drive. There's no bracing or trying to stop the dead weight on top of them. That would have been my big question there, right, Mike?
Look at the tail end of it, though. I see the arms on the first hit, if we can show that again.
Yeah, we'll
because
get
we're,
to it.
We're at a bad angle.
Yeah, he tries
it
to
looks
get them out.
Like,
I hear you.
It looks like he throws his arms out. And if you look at where the referee was, and I think the referee was in a position to be looking right at it, the referee can see that motion where as he's going down, the arms go out. I don't see where the referee is. But as he goes down from the angle that the camera had, and obviously
there
the camera angles for preseason games are far from ideal, but watch the arms at the end. See? You can't really see it because there's bodies in the way, but he puts his arms out.
Yeah, no, I mean, he tries. And listen,
and there's
you know
where the
me.
See where the referee's standing back there? He probably saw the arms come out.
Yeah, you know me. I'm all for that not being caught. You're right, though. This is something we'll have to watch with guys like Bryce Young or the smaller quarterbacks that get in football. I think because of their size, there'll be a lot of legal hits that get called as, like, unnecessary roughness because of the size of the player. I don't think there's any doubt, right? We've talked about that in the past where we go, wait, you know, we see Josh Allen or Mahomes get hit the same way, and they go, well, you're a big sucker, you'll be okay, and they don't really care. And it doesn't look the same as far as the body whipping around and all that because they are much bigger men. But, hey, either way, Bryce Young, it's a great experience for him. He got to see, even without some of their starters in there, he got to see one of the best defensive lines in football. So he's gonna get a good. He'll have a good gauge after a week of practice against them. That game there to go. Wait, okay, that's next level defensive line. They are able to have depth and fresh bodies. And like you said, hopefully now he can gauge. Okay, wait. If I do get pressure, you know, you start to process things in the fact of where can I get the ball to my hand quickly, safely, right? What position do I got to get my body in some of these throws to make it happen, or where do I have to move in the pocket? And that's where he's gonna learn from that experience, but it wasn't easy. And that Jets D, I mean, that Jet D is the real deal. When you talk about their first round pick, McDonald, Jermaine Johnson, the first round pick from last year, and you look at all the pass rushers they got, damn, are they deep on that defensive line in New York. And they were all over, you know, Bryce Young. It was hard for him to get any rhythm because they were so all over him.
That's one of the things Aaron Rodgers is most excited about. He's had offensive head coaches his entire career. Now he's got a defensive head coach with a potent defense, maybe arguably better than any defense he's had in his NFL career right out of the gates with the Jets. And, yeah, even with four offensive linemen starters for the Carolina Panthers, the Jets were able to get through. And it's not like it's a bad offensive line.
No, it's not a bad one.
It's a pretty damn good Jets front.
Yes, it is. It's a really good Jets front. That's got it all. I mean, it really does. Depth, versatility. You know, they got young, fresh bodies who are still growing and getting better. You know, but there's a lot of potential in that group right there. And, yeah, that'll be one of the better D-lines that Carolina offense sees all year. But Bryce Young, you know, again, I don't want to judge any of these rookies too harshly, right? It's about just getting out there, getting used to the bright lights, getting used to the process of a game in the stadium, game day type of stuff. Now, hey, next week we can, you know, go up another level as far as how we evaluate him and what we expect. And we expect a positive step in the right direction. And we'll see, too, whether they start to formulate some things, too, Mike, where we can't, you know, take this or forget about this. But they were basic in that game right there. They weren't running any, you know, tricky plays or game plan plays. You know, next week we might see, like we've talked about last week, where they come out, they run a few plays that fit him, or they game plan against a defense that, you know, start to be something of what they're going to show in the regular season to benefit their first round or their first pick of the draft.
I mean, you're only playing a few drives. There's no opportunity for in-game adjustments, chance to look at the tablet and see what they're doing and how do we react to it. What other plays can we access from our game plan? Do we go off the board and come up with something on the fly that we can use to take advantage of the opening that is being given because they're overloading in one area or the other? You don't get that. And you don't get to work out the kinks and get better as the flow of the game goes on. You're there for a limited period of time. And then you're out of the game. Same thing happened with Anthony Richardson of the Colts, the fourth overall pick in the draft, played three series in his debut in Buffalo, 7-for-12, 67 yards, and one interception. His opening drive ended with that pick. Let's hear from Shane Steichen, the first year Colts coach, on his rookie quarterback's NFL debut.
I thought he had great poise. I really did. I know we had the early interception. That's my fault. We got to do a better job communicating there on that one. They brought, you know, slot pressure off the edge, and, you know, there's a miscommunication that starts with coaching, starts with myself. We got to be better there. Other than that, I thought he was efficient. He threw some good balls. He was calm in the pocket. Hit Granson over the middle, threw a nice deep ball to Pierce. A lot of good there, though. A lot of good.
Shane Steichen also said Anthony Richardson showed great poise in the game. Here's the interception. The pressure came in, and the ball got thrown a little bit wide of the mark and was intercepted, and the Bills scored fairly quickly after that.
Mike, the first thing is, like, let's rewind that play again, Courtney, if we can. I mean, first of all, I know it's an interception. There's miscommunication. But, like, damn. Like, what a throw. Holy crap. This is what I look at. I just want to look at the guy, the physical ability. What's it look? Oh, hey, my feet are cockeyed. I'm falling backwards. And let me just flick it out there at 70 miles per hour. Yep. I mean, you know, that to me opened my eyes. They'll fix that. That's easy fix. Like Shane Steichen said, miscommunication. He'll see it more. He probably hasn't had that blitz against that play yet. You know, we're in the training wheel phase, like we talked about at the start of the show. But damn, I'm with Coach in that one. The dude looked good. It looked real good. It looked eye-popping. He looked more comfortable than I would have thought. His mechanics looked good. They weren't perfect, but they were good. And, Mike, he had a few drops that were, like, phenomenal throws. So I'd be excited if I'm a Colts fan for the way Anthony Richardson looked, right? He's like the opposite of Bryce Young. We know he's going to look good. We just need not, he needs to get the polish and the reading of the defenses where Bryce Young's very good at, and then it's watch out.
Yeah, and look, the guy needs to play football. He hasn't played much, and that's the whole idea. Get him out there. Look at that one.
It's Josh Allen looking a little there with some of these throws. You're just like, whoa, vapor trail. Shoo!
Well, and it's the release, too.
Right.
To generate that kind of velocity and force with that quick snapping motion, that's pretty damn impressive. And it took Josh Allen three seasons to become Josh Allen, so let's not rush Anthony Richardson.
That's right.
But we see the potential that caused the Colts to make the very basic assessment. If this guy ends up being as good as he can be, I don't want it to be somewhere else because we passed on it. Let's make it happen right here in Indianapolis as our hopeful next franchise quarterback. And there was some excitement there from Anthony Richardson. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to see what he and the Colts can do.
This ain't Jamarcus Russell. This is not that. I already know that, right? I know that from people I've talked to who have met the guy. He was impressive to everybody. We discussed it a lot during the draft process.
you see here, he's already made great strides in his game. And then the throwing, it's not perfect. He missed a few targets because he does whip it, and he kind of stays under the ball sometimes, and it floats up on him, right? But, man, I mean, he had two other throws. He threw a comeback mic to Alec Pierce on the left sideline with people kind of all over him. You know, size is a skill. And Alec Pierce, it was a tough catch, but he could have caught it. He probably watched the film yesterday and went, damn, I should catch that. He threw a deep crosser across the field that Pierce had and then dropped it kind of as he hit the ground. But it was high level. I mean, just to go, wow, the control of the football, the velocity of the football, the size of the human, the way he moves, right? The quickness of the release and what you talked about, and then how the ball pops. I mean, how could you not be excited about what you saw from Anthony Richardson there? So, yeah, I mean, he's just starting the tip of the iceberg here. Let's see where it goes. But I was extremely encouraged with how he looked.
And you know, we're going to talk about C.J. Stroud a little bit later, but the Texans have to be very nervous about this because they passed on Richardson twice. In three picks, they had pick two and they took Stroud. Pick three, they traded up to get Will Anderson Jr. And then comes Richardson at number four. And I mean, it doesn't matter. They weren't going to take two quarterbacks back to back. But just the idea, when you look at the draft picks from 2023 and you see one, Bryce Young, two, Texans Stroud, three, Texans Will Anderson, four, Anthony Richardson, and they're going to play him twice per year.
Yeah.
I mean, if Richardson becomes the superstar of this class, it's going to be very glaring for the Houston Texans.
Well,
glaring.
It will be. There's a pressure on pick one and two right there. You know, they're both going to feel the pressure if Anthony Richardson becomes Josh Allen and the other two, you know, just become whatever, just another
Baker
guy.
Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
Exactly, right there. Way to put it together for me. Yeah, that's going to be big-time pressure. And I'll say this, too, just watching Anthony Richardson, you know, I'm not so sure. You know, and it's odd to say this with the number four pick in the draft, but I think he's got the best support system around him. That's the other thing. I mean, he's got a top 10 defense. He's got an offensive line that we know underperformed last year, right? But I think we still can look at it and go, they should be pretty solid. And, you know, receivers, okay, there's no superstars there, but there's good. Pierce, Pittman, they're the real deal. They're dependable. We think they're going to be able to run the ball. So from that aspect, compared to Stroud and Bryce Young, I think there's some things around Richardson that, you know, are just going to be a little more beneficial for him as far as the rest of the team is as compared to those two guys.
I did mention the Texans, but you're right about the Panthers. They should be concerned about this too, because if Young doesn't work out and Richardson's a superstar and they trade it up,
right,
and they whiff,
and you're going to be like, you drafted a 5'10 quarterback and this guy had, you know, they're going to hear it for sure. You're right.
I still wonder to this day how much influence the owner David Tepper had over the Bryce Young
pick. Yeah.
Owners have a way. You don't have to say it. It's one of the benefits of being a multi-billionaire. You don't have to tell anyone to do anything. If they're smart, they figure it out. If they want to continue to work for you, they figure it out. And it could be as simple, Chris, as Anthony Richardson's too much like Cam Newton. I don't want Cam Newton 2.0.
Maybe.
We've already done the Cam Newton thing.
Yeah.
We need to try something different. We need to try something different. We had 8 years, 9 years of Cam Newton. And we need to give the fans something else. We need to give them a different franchise quarterback than another big, giant human who is really damn good at playing football. Although, there's a reason why you are attracted to a big, giant human who is really good at playing football.
Exactly.
He helps you win games.
That's right.
He does well.
That's
he
right.
He throws the ball. But, I mean, I never saw Cam Newton get rid of the ball as fast as I saw Anthony Richardson get rid of the ball in his first NFL game. That's for damn sure.
No.
Newton held the ball a lot longer.
Well,
when the message goes from brain to arm, it just took him a lot longer
big and deliberate how he threw it. Had an incredible arm, of course, as we know. I mean, he could really throw it. But, yeah, it wasn't like Richardson's ability just to snap it out there like
snap
that.
Snap it.
You know, he does.
Snap
he
it.
Snaps it. And then, you know, the other thing he's going to have, and we're going to continue to see, like we've talked about, and it'll only, I think, increase because they'll use him more this way. But his ability to run, of course, is going to be another edge he has because like we've discussed before, teams are going to be worried. Whoa, we might get outnumbered in the quarterback run game. We need to play this defense to stop the run. And it's the perfect pass look for a quarterback where you go, whoa, they're going to play this defense and I can throw this pass? I mean, and that's where he's got another crutch or advantage that the other two don't in that department. The other two need, you know, some other things to help them a little bit. And that's where Richardson could be special, you know, as far as helping his own cause.
And we don't have it in today's rundown. It's worth pointing out the Colts expect running back Jonathan Taylor back this week. It doesn't mean he's going to practice. He's off-site, or at least he has been off-site, getting treatment on his ankle that ultimately had surgery after he injured it during the 2022 season. He reportedly still wants to be traded. The Colts' objective has been to calm it all down and get him to realize. Now, they haven't articulated it this way, but they just want him to realize he's got no alternatives. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? He wants to play football. Remember, we've talked about this. They use how much you love the sport against you. What are you going to do, Jonathan? You want to play in the NFL? You want to play football? You want to come out here and compete? You want to be out there on the same field with this exciting rookie quarterback? What are you going to do? Make your $4.2 million this year, and then we'll see where we are after the season. Maybe we'll give you a long-term contract. Maybe we'll use the franchise tag. But that's our decision to make, not yours. All you can decide to do at this point is to get yourself ready to play football. I feel like the Colts are hoping he comes to that conclusion. And every day that a Scud missile isn't fired by Jim Irsay at Jonathan Taylor or his agent is a good day for the Colts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I would agree with you there. I don't. He's got nowhere to go here. It's him, Josh Jacobs. That's where, you know, like we said with Saquon Barkley, just get in there, play ball, get the damn money. Get it. There's only so much money out there you can get for a limited amount of time. You got to do it now. I'm sorry. The rules stink. Florian and I will continue to work on this and change it. But for now, yeah, this is the only thing you got. Play, ball out, lead the NFL in rushing, ask for more money next year, and just try to keep capitalizing. But sitting out ain't going to do it for anybody. And I don't want to see that happen to these guys.
We'll keep working on it, but I can't give any guarantee that we're ever going to change it.
No.
I don't know what the change would be. And first, we got to get the union on board with it, and then we got the union to get the league on board with it, and then you got to worry about robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it's a complicated thing. And the easier thing is just play a different position, kids. If you're really, really good at football, don't be the guy that the youth coach gives the ball to and says, go run around and just, you know, score touchdowns. Make me look like a pretty good coach if I just give you the ball every play. Get to a different position so you don't get in this position where the system is screwing you the way it's screwing so many great running backs. All right, Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill's still their guy, but injury history, and who knows? Who knows? Who knows what they're plotting in Tennessee? Who knows whether or not what's going to happen to Ryan Tannehill is what happened to Marcus Mariota when Tannehill came to town and Mariota eventually got benched. They've got Will Levis, the rookie, and Malik Willis competing for the number two spot. Willis has stepped up. I think Willis was persona non grata in the eyes of Coach Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
He's redeemed himself. He's made Vrabel hasn't come out and said it, but Willis has done something to change the way Vrabel views him, and they split time in the preseason opener against the Bears. You know, Chris, there's a chance that Levis is going to be stuck at number three this year if Willis performs the way that he has in camp and in the offseason program. And, you know, that gives them the luxury of letting Levis develop.
Right.
But it also creates an issue. What are you going to do with Malik Willis when the time comes to move on from Ryan Tannehill? Does he become the starter and Levis sits behind him? Or do you flip Malik Willis to another team after you've developed him into a guy who can play?
Hey, I don't know. They got a good problem here. You know, Tannehill's good. You know, I think he is one of the more underrated quarterbacks in football. And these two guys here got talent. They do. Malik Willis, yeah, it was raw all over the place last year. He cleaned it up in a lot of ways. He was clean throwing the football. He's different that way. He's got a few more clubs in the bag, Mike, as far as different throws. His motion is not quite as long and crazy. And the ball, every ball is not just 107-mile-per-hour fastball now. So he's able to change speeds, arm angles. He's got some elite physical talent about him. It's about playing the game. It's about getting his eyes in the right place. It's about reading the field the right way. And he certainly looked like he made improvements in that department, Mike. That was interesting game and how they played him, right? First off, there's two things that I really liked, Mike. One, they're backup quarterbacks, right? So they got them used to being, they rotated them almost the whole game. So you're used to, whoa, I got to come off the bench now, right? I thought that was kind of a cool thing to do as far as you want to teach a guy how to be a backup. You got to teach him, ooh, he might have to go in at a whim or, you know, in a whim or just at a moment's notice. And you're not always going to be in rhythm from the drive before and all that. So I like that for sure. But it also showed me that there's real competition there, like you said, with those two guys. Like this is real for this backup spot. They both did a good job, but yeah, Willis was impressive as far as his improvements from last year to this year.
Did Willis look smaller to you, like he's dropped some weight?
Yes, he
looks
did.
A little leaner.
Not as thick in the legs and that, definitely. I noticed that right away, right?
And I noticed in the torso and in the trunk, he just seems smaller. He hasn't been rating the Mike Vrabel ham stash maybe as much as he was last year, but you get more explosion out. If there's a balance, you need the suit of armor, the natural suit of armor under your pads to stay healthy, but you can get more explosion, a little more acceleration. You can do a little more with the football in your hands than maybe you did if you were carrying an extra, I don't know, he looks maybe 15, 20 pounds thinner than he was last year.
Yeah, there's something there.
Guess.
And you got to find, you know, that hey, yeah, like you said, the armor, but yet I want to be quick and fast and be able to move in the pocket and hop around and be able to do it for four quarters and be in shape to do it as well. That's the balance you got to find there. So, but either way, I thought both guys did a lot of good things, right? Willis still is raw. Like, I watched that game on film a little, Mike. I watched it yesterday. You know, there's still moments where his eyes are like, he looks at one, he looks at three, he looks back at one, and you're like, wait, why did you do that? I don't understand. Just stay with one, and then let's go to two, and then three. Why did we look? But, you know, make some eye-popping throws, eye-popping, escapes. But he fumbled the ball at one time. He threw an interception, right? Will Levis throws an interception at the end of the football game, probably had another one dropped. So these are guys with, like, big arms, big talent, and they just got to learn to be refined, take care of the football, run the offense, and get in the trust tree with Vrabel, and I think that's what they're battling it out for right now there in Tennessee.
Levis threw 14 passes, completing 9 for 85 yards. He had that interception, like you mentioned. Here's Mike Vrabel from after the game on what Levis needs to improve upon.
I mean, I think just letting the game come to him, just take what's there, you know, just trying to make sure that we're not overdoing it, that we're just playing a large role as a quarterback in the offense and, you know, taking what they give you. And then when there's opportunities to work the ball down the field, do that. Did some nice things. You know, I thought did some really nice things and, you know, would like to have some plays back.
I remember Vrabel didn't coach that game. He's coming up with innovative ideas. Take full advantage of the preseason. Like you were saying, rotate your quarterbacks. Get them to simulate what it's going to be like if you get all of a sudden called upon to go in a game when you haven't been in a game, instead of having that rhythm that is likely not going to happen this year unless Ryan Tannehill gets injured or is just horrible. But, yeah, you said it. Good problem to have, although the best problem to have is no problem at all. They draft Will Levis, maybe not recognizing Malik Willis is ready to turn the corner and be better than he was last year. And now they're going to have to decide who's number two, who's number three. There was a point where Willis looked like he was on the endangered species list as a member of the Titans roster. But remember, that new third quarterback rule and the way they've crafted it for this year, you got to have three guys on the 53-man roster in order to dress that extra player on game day. I think it's safe to assume when the season starts, it's going to be Tannehill, Willis, and Levis as three members of the 53-man roster in Tennessee.
Would agree. I mean, if they're not on the roster, somebody's going to steal one of them. I can promise you that. They are. There's just too much talent there. I think that goes back to what you were saying with Vrabel. I'm sure he was in the doghouse. You know, you're right. I mean, hey, he was young. He was a little immature. He was careless with the football. I'm sure all those things. But I would think Mike Vrabel recognizes the talent for one, and then also recognizes, damn, we shouldn't even have been in the position to where we had to put that kid in last year. That wasn't fair to him. We should have had better options. The team should have been orchestrated better to where we didn't have to rely on the everybody knew raw rookie quarterback. So hopefully he hasn't held that against him, and I think that's what you're seeing. And, you know, Levis and Willis, they got starting quarterback-type talent. Willis's arm is elite. It is. It's just about the decision-making, the appropriate throw, and doing that, you know, the right thing with the football. Can they trust them and all that? And that's going to go with Levis, too. Levis can be a little crazy and careless as well. You know, the interception at the end was a little bit like, whoa, what are you doing there? He had the play, the second-to-last play, Mike, before that, he had a wide-open guy over the middle and, you know, just tried to throw it too cool or too hard where you just go, pop it up and just get the completion. I don't give a damn if that thing helicopters and quacks or whatever. Just get the completion here. But he tried to, like, throw a laser in the middle of the field, and it became incomplete. And then he threw the interception next play. But still, I think a lot of positives from both of these. See there, those are things he needs to work on. He tried to throw a touch ball, and he just lost total control of the football there, Mike.
And I got to give Vrabel credit because this whole Willis thing, I think, was another indication of the friction that existed between Vrabel and former GM John Robinson, a fight that Vrabel eventually won.
Yeah.
But Vrabel isn't going to hold it against the kid. Like, even if the kid is associated with the former dysfunction and was a guy that maybe Vrabel didn't want and maybe wanted to have a better number two to Ryan Tannehill last year, he's not going to hold it against the kid to
That's
the point
right.
where he has no chance whatsoever to redeem himself, to prove himself, and to be a member of the team. He's part of the team. He's under contract. And they're going to give him a chance to do exactly what Vrabel needs him to do. And he's doing it. So it's encouraging to see a coach not let – because those guys get caught in the middle of
the
fights.
Gets
and he's
personal.
Not letting
– right.
Right. Whatever acrimony was between him and Robinson, and surely there was some, or Robinson wouldn't have been fired during the season. And all we have to do is go back to the neck thing from the A.J. Brown trade. But he's not identifying Malik Willis with John Robinson. He's given Willis his own chance, and it's showing.
Yeah.
That opportunity is turning into something good for Willis.
Yeah, good for Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel's a man's man. He's old school. He's not petty. Right. And you're explaining it right. I've been in places where, you know, the coach doesn't like a player because it was the other guy's guy or the GM picked him and it wasn't my guy. And they hold it against that player. And you want to go, damn, you know, you're going to, you know, mess up our team and your own damn job just because you didn't pick him, even though he's the better player and we need to give him a chance too. Vrabel ain't going to do that. Vrabel's going to play the best guy. He's not going to cut off his nose to spite his face. I think I got that right. And credit to him.
Yes.
Vrabel's next level. Vrabel, I just think what he's doing with the head coaching thing, the quarterback there, some of the things and the drills and the stuff I heard about them that I saw on social media that I had people tell me about throughout the spring and all that, he is always looking for a new way or a cutting edge, and it's very impressive.
You weren't here on Friday. You rarely are. C.J. Stroud had his debut for the Houston Texans on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Played sparingly, just a couple of drives. Had an interception. Took a hit that I feared was going to result in a lower leg
thought
injury.
His ankle
the
got
way
caught,
that
right?
The yeah. body weight got caught. He got caught under the body weight of the defensive lineman, and it just looked like it was one of those plays where the ankle could be seriously injured. Unfortunately for him, it wasn't. What was your takeaway of what you saw from Stroud?
Well, again, physically looks good. I mean, you know, he threw the out route. It looked good. He's got great mechanics that way. He, you know, is not going to be Anthony Richardson and just run around and be able to make it happen with what happened in that game. I mean, that was the worst pass protection we saw out of any quarterback. I mean, Keon White and Anthony Jennings, I don't know. Was that Reggie White and Jerome Brown? Or was that, I don't know who the hell that was. Look at these plays. I mean, I'm just shocked that, you know, I don't know, that they let this happen. That it wasn't a little more controlled as far as let's keep a tight end in the block. Let's max protect, right? But this was like no chance for your young quarterback to succeed. We've shown five passes, and every one has been a fire drill. Like, oh, crap, blow the whistle. I got to get the ball out of my hand. So
That's where it's hard. The interception was bad. There's no doubt about it, you know. But at the same time, for your first start and just to be under duress, whoa. And that's what was, I think, more concerning to me about about anything in that game, Mike.
Yeah, you're going to put that guy out there. You got to give him a chance to be successful.
Right.
You can't have backup tackles. You can't have the absence of a tight end to help keep the defensive line
extra
from
guy
getting
in.
After your
right.
quarterback.
Right.
And, yeah, yeah. And again, that's the risk with putting these guys out there. All it takes is one hit, one awkward hit. We saw it happen to Mike Vick 20 years ago this month when, you know, the sun was rising on his career and he broke his leg against the Baltimore Ravens. All it takes is that one moment. They're out there with live reps. And as much as the NFL protects the quarterback, there's still only so much you can protect him, especially if his offensive line and his blocking schemes aren't.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's only so much you can overcome. You know, even the great Michael Vick, he was the greatest thing I ever saw in my life. You know, he still needed a little blocking. We saw even in that game against the Ravens in the preseason game. Yeah, you can't overcome it all. There has to be something there. And, yeah, he had no chance, C.J. Stroud, of being able to make anything happen or let anything develop down the field. So they need to go back to the drawing board, make sure they put him in at a better spot to succeed. But I will say this, on a positive note, holy crap, it looks like New England got something in their second-round pick, Keon White, because he was just like, yes. He lived in the backfield there. He ended up stealing the star of the show there from C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, they got to be happy with both of their top picks, Christian Gonzalez as well.
Yeah,
a guy that lingered a little longer than we thought. He looked good.
Right.
And, you know, Patriots maybe getting back to the things that made them great in the first half of their dynasty, where it was defense that led the way. And really, you need, with all these great quarterbacks, the better your defense can be, the better chance you have of slowing some of these teams down and staying in some of these games. All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, Trey Lance starting season number 3, starting the preseason opener for the 49ers. How did he look against the Raiders? We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.